I've known Mark Hewitt for a long time. And as far as I know, this is the first time I'm ever going to say something nice about him. I love Mark Hewitt. We go way back when we were building our testimony. Hey, brother? Yeah. Back before we were really walking with the Lord and grew up playing. What? Yeah, we don't talk about it. That's for another Sunday. Played baseball against Mark and grew up with him. But when our hearts really united, he was always a friend and he was a buddy. But when our hearts became united was when we started walking with Jesus. And I remember about 10 to 12 years ago, sitting down with Mark and his wife, Carrie. Mark had worked for WTU. I may be stealing some of your thunder, brother. I'm sorry. But he had worked for WTU and felt the call in his life to enter the ministry and become a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he walked away from that career. And y'all know my story. A few years later, I felt that same call in the computer field and walked away from that field. And Cheryl and I sat down, and I'll never be able to thank Mark enough for what he did for us during that time. He sat down with Cheryl and I and he and Carrie and told us what to look for and what was coming and encouraged us and prayed for us. And he is a good man. He is a godly man, and he's here today to share the word. Mark, come up.
That's pretty nice. It could have been worse. That could have been rough. Mike, for me. It's really a lot like home to me, to be honest. I think about Wiley, and I think about Jeff, and I think about the people that I know, even Mr. Wise. He knows I love him. But it really is like home. When I get invited to come and preach, Jeff and I do go way back, and it's exciting to see where God has brought us from where we were. But I think anybody in this room that's old enough can say that. Amen?
Amen.
So when I looked at this message, and Jeff called and he talked to me, he said, I want you to come and I want you to talk a little bit about this and that. And I started thinking about it. I thought, what would be a great way to start this message? Here's what God gave me. He said, I've been able to take Love and Care Ministries and Wiley United Methodist and partner you up for the kingdom of God. Is anybody on this side? Partnership is huge for the kingdom.
Amen.
Got a little bit over here. Got a lot over here. Y'all going to have to get a little better. All right. In 2003... I received a call from Pastor Jeff, and here's what the conversation went like. Similar. Hey, Mark, our church is beginning a new program where we would like to start building some wheelchair ramps, maybe some fences, fix up some elderly ladies' houses, maybe work on some things around the community. He said, do you have anything like that in your ministry? And this was my answer. In fact, I do. How many projects would you like? I didn't hear anything on the other end. I think he was accepting, maybe let's put up a few posts. But here's the beauty of what God did. The first project that we were able to connect the church with was my little elderly friend, Miss Alice Roberts. And if you were here, you might remember she was known as Miss Granny. In 2004, while United Methodist took the funds that were raised in the church by most of you. Now hear that. By most of you, to build a brand new house on Sycamore Street for my 90-year-old friend. Now, I met Granny riding on her three-wheel bicycle over off of Palm Street. She was about in the mid-80s, probably 83, 84, and she was riding along, had a little thing right here on her trach covered up, and I stopped, and she really couldn't talk to me because I couldn't understand her, because she couldn't speak well. I remember reaching out and handing Granny a sack lunch. She smiled, I smiled, and that was the relationship that Granny and I built at that moment. But I have to be honest. I would have never thought that my little lady friend that got kicked out basically of this old home that she lived over in that area of Palm Street because they had to tear down that home, moved into another home that I was being able to minister in, where her, I believe it was her aunt, her sister-in-law, someone lived there. That home was extremely bad, but just a little bit better than the one they condemned. Anybody hearing me? So this phone call came at a great time. Now some of you may not know this story, but that when I told Jeff, I said, well, here's what we could do. Well, let's meet over there. So he brought two other guys with him. A couple of them were builders and had to do some things in building. And so we met over there. I knew, Deb, if I could get them there, I had them. Because if you've never been to a home like Granny's and you have any kind of a passion for people, you're going to want to help her. She stood literally, am I not kidding, Jeff, that tall? She was a little Indian lady. And I watched her from time to time just wrap her cane around her son and yank him. I mean, she was tough. But I got Jeff and him over to that house. And I remember, I'm not going to say his name, but I remember this brother went in there with us. And we're standing in this old bathroom where the water doesn't work. The only way the water worked is if you turn it on or turn it on outside. Now, they had a leak outside. Go in the bathroom, use the bathroom, run back outside and turn the water off because of all the pipes that were busted on her side of the house. That's how bad it was. Plus all the dogs and the cats and the other people that lived there, and the smell was worse and got worse and worse and worse. Our friend was standing there in this bathroom. And it had been about 5 minutes and 10 minutes, and they'd been in the house. And he said, I got to get out of here. And I remember him looking at me, and he goes, this is what you wanted. I said, absolutely. I'm being honest, yeah. We went to his office. Most of you, I say most of you, know the story. Granny got a new home at the age of 90 years old. That's a huge amen. 90 years old. I know her very well, or knew her at the time. She had absolutely nothing in her life. But while United Methodist takes a little amount of money and a whole lot of money from her and builds this home, two bedroom, one bath, small living and kitchen connection, and she is just happy as can be. I don't know that I can imagine that. Because most of us have in this room whatever we want. Am I right? Sure we do. Most of us in this room live in nice homes. And so I was excited to see how God put us together for that. And I thank you for that. The second thing I got to thinking about is in 2007, another project came up. And Love and Care was able to connect Wiley Methodist with our friend on Carver Street. You've seen him. He's been out here preach, I think. And off of North 10th Street, Pastor Riley Hood of St. John's Baptist. And I remember Riley talking to me and saying, you know, I've got these three homes. He said, but I also got my church. He said, Brother Mark, look at my roof. And so it hit me one day when we were over in that feeding in that area that there's another project for Riley. And I called Jeff, and I don't know if you remember, but I called and I said, man, I think I got something else for you to do. And we're able to connect them two together. And here you are again. Look at what God's done through you. Through what your heart is about people. That's what giving's about, is people. Helping people. And so you've went in there and I think you've redone some homes, am I right? Two? You went in and re-roofed the church. Put a new sign out there in an area that if God wouldn't have sent y'all, may not have got done. And so partnership to me is very, very big in ministry. You know, in taking God's money and furthering the kingdom of others, I promise you, church, listen to me. When you commit all you have to the Lord Almighty, your church and yourself, He's going to use you in ways you can't imagine. But it's a commitment. It's a commitment that you have to express to the Lord. I mean, Krim couldn't have said it any better a while ago. I think a lot of times we go through the motions even when we worship, Krim. We sing songs and they just roll off our tongue with no meaning. They asked me to come. Jeff asked me to come today to talk about financial stewardship. And now I want y'all to hold on. Don't let anybody leave. One thing I was asked before I came in here, they said, are you going to be long? How do I get that wherever I go? I promised them this may be the shortest message you've ever heard Mark Hewitt preach. Some of you got an amen on that one. But I seriously want you to understand it's biblical. Stewardship, financial stewardship is biblical. I want you to sit back today in your chairs and I want you to listen to what God says, not what I say. What He says, and listen to the heart of the message. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. We thank You for all You're doing today. I thank You for this church. I thank You for the partnerships that You've brought together with Love and Care and Wiley and through all the other people. I ask You today, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds to hear what You have for us today through Your Word, the Gospel. Bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking the notes today, the message is entitled, Giving Wholeheartedly. Giving Wholeheartedly. When I think of the word stewardship, I naturally think of the word giving and tithing. For years, churches have been asked for their members to financially help in so many different reasons. It can be building needs, it can be carpet, it can be stained glass, it can be pretty ceilings, it can be all kinds of different things through the music systems that churches have or members have been asked by their churches to give. The act of tithing, hear me for a second, and giving is one of the most questioned practices in Christian living. However, the Bible tells us that tithing is one of the most greatest acts of obedience that a Christian can do. Okay? Now, we find this in Deuteronomy 14, 22, 23 when it says to us, quote, it says, to teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Now, you're the one that knows if you fear Him or not. It says to teach, look at this, to teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Church, by practicing good tithing and giving habits, Scripture tells us that we are showing God, now hear this, that we put Him first in everything we do in our lives. We are to give God the first and the best of what we earn, of what He gives us. Let me ask you the question this morning. How do you view giving? How do you view giving? Is it painful? Is it a joy to give? Do you believe it's your responsibility to give? For some of you, it's no problem. You love people, you just give it, give it, give it, give it. Let me give you several reasons of different motives people give. They feel the right gratitude towards God. Number two, they see giving as part of their relationship with God. They feel privileged to serve. That's why they give. The fourth thing I see here is that they feel that God asks for an appropriate percentage in their income, which comes from Malachi 3:10. Why don't you look over there real quick, because I want to read that. Malachi 3:10, just real quick. Last book of the Old Testament. I'm going to give you time to get it, because I want you to see something here that I think is extremely powerful. this particular verse in Malachi 3:10, and I have it written in my Bible, that on Sunday morning, 2010, the Lord spoke to me about one word in this passage. It says, "Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." Now listen closely, church, what he says right here. It says, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven." I love this. "And pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Wow. Don't miss that. He says right here, look at this. He says, "Test me. See what I can do. Because I am the Lord Almighty." And he says, "If you do this, I will not only throw open the floodgates of heaven, but I will pour out blessing after blessing after blessing on you." That this church isn't big enough to hold it. This room is not big enough to hold it. Powerful, powerful message. The fifth thing is this. One of the reasons is people like to help others. I've heard the comment made, and I know you have, that people says, "Well, I'm going to spend all my money because I can't take it to heaven with me." That is not a true statement. And you're all looking at me like, "What?" It's not a true statement. We can't physically take the money to heaven, no. But if you pour your money into souls, souls, and souls, it's going, I promise you. It's about people, helping people. Now here's some other motives. They want to help the church. People give for that. They give because they believe it's their duty. They feel that giving means more life for them. If I give more money, I might live a little longer. They give because it's out of habit. Every Sunday I need to place something in there. Where's the heart in that? They feel guilty if they don't, and they feel judgment if they don't give. And the last thing is this, is they give because of social peer pressure. Church, the whole thing of giving is the heart. It's right here. Well, that's why you give. My first point today is called "In Giving Wholeheartedly." Christian giving begins from the heart, and we first must begin that God has given us, He's given it to us. Now listen to this. Turn to 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters," he threw that in there, didn't he? "We want you to know about the grace." Now, church, a lot of times, I want you to catch this today. This is so important. A lot of times we read the verse, but we don't catch what these words mean. It says, "We want you to know about the grace," say grace, "that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of the very severe trial, their overflowing joy," now say overflowing, "joy in their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability entirely on their own." Hear this. "They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And then, by the will of God, all to us." I look at this, and in studying it this last couple of weeks, you know, Paul was writing from the Macedonians during his third missionary journey during this time. The letter was strictly about one word, generosity. Generosity. It was about the hope to encourage and to motivate the Corinthian believers. That's what the message was about. What was amazing was that they gave more than they expected. The three churches gave with sacrificial giving. Friends, they gave even though they were poor themselves. Study it. They were poor, but they wanted to help people. They wanted to help others. The point of giving is not about how much one gives, but why and how we give it. That's the point. I don't believe that God wants us to give grudgingly. He wants us to give us as these three churches did. They wanted to help. They gave from their heart, and they gave love behind their giving. And as I studied this passage even more, I saw this. They were very dedicated to Jesus Christ in their giving. I remember I was probably in my early 20s. I was at a little Baptist church on north side of Abilene. I had been married a couple of years. My life had just started changing as Jeff and I were talking earlier about how God had changed us. I wasn't in ministry. I was working at West Texas Utilities, and I was just learning what a relationship with Jesus Christ was about. We were sitting in the church, and I saw these gold plates coming by. Had never paid attention to them before. But that day, for some reason, something happened. And this is what. I saw my wife take her checkbook out, and I said, "What are you doing?" Now, she might have put it in there before and I not notice it. But that day I did. And she said, I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm writing a check." And as she wrote it, I said, "You're not giving them that." Because she said, "I'm giving the church a check." And I said, "But you're not giving them that much." She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Why?" I'm just being honest. I had no idea. And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because it's what we're supposed to do." Because, see, my wife was way ahead of me in what we're supposed to know about that Bible. And I said, "Well, I don't understand." "Well, I'm still trying to figure out. Here comes plate. There goes the check." And I said, "Well, we need to visit about this when this is over." Because you just gave them a lot of money. And we got home and she said, "Here's the thing. We just sold your old car." And she said, "I'm tithing off of what God gave us in that car." "Great, Carrie, but why? We can use that money in other places." Anyway, a couple of weeks went by. I saw some blessings come. The next week, I said, "Hey, have you given that check yet?" You start learning. I had no idea. But I began to hear the Lord in why we give. Let me give you some reasons why we as believers should give. God commands it. I can stop right there. God commands it. In the Old and New Testament, God commands people to give. Malachi 3:10, we read it, and Luke 11:42. We need to recognize that everything we have belongs to the Father. Not just one-tenth. Everything. Church, if you truly believe that He is God the Creator and we are the created, He owns everything, because Psalms 50 verse 10 says, "For every beast in the forest is mine, every cattle on 1,000 hills are mine," He said. You can't put pencil and paper to the example I just gave you. How it works, you can't. "Carrie, we don't have enough money right there. You can't do it." "Yes, I can." Bam. I can't explain it, because blessing after blessing comes. You try to put pencil and paper to it and you won't be able to. He owns every cattle on 1,000 hills. Think about that, how awesome that statement is. Giving creates the right attitude in us. Our giving is an expression of desire, a sincere desire to serve God with our whole being. Our giving demonstrates to others our allegiance. Giving allows us to participate with God in giving blessings to other people. Wow. When we give, friends, we meet needs of people. In giving, we become more like God. Number two, a heart that is given to the Lord's work, 2 Corinthians 8:4. If you look at this, it says, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Church, we must desire to participate in God's work. And throughout it, it motivates our giving, and through God's work, it fills the needs. You, and I explained to you, you filled so many needs and are still filling needs today by what you're doing in this community of Abilene, Texas. You give a portion of what you have every month to Love and Care. You give to other places. I was reading on your little deal there of all the places where you give. You're meeting those needs, and those are needs for people. Number three, a Christ-like heart is vital. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through His riches, though He was rich, yet for sake He became poor, so that you through the poverty might become rich. Jesus Christ emptied Himself, and He is our example. Amen? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, did you catch it? A lot of times we read that, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, and we missed it. Love will motivate your giving. Love. For God so loved the world. So if you love, it's going to motivate. You're not going to have a problem with giving if you love Him and love people. Church, our giving must express our complete dependency upon Him, upon God. Mark 12, 41-44 says this, that Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw a large amounts. But a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins. Now hear this closely. Worth only a little fraction of a penny. Calling His disciples to Him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasure than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, in everything, He said, all she had to live on, less than a penny, she laid it in there. I remember when the mission first started. I mean, first Sunday, homeless church, 1997, April 31st, I believe. I was standing down there after Easter service. It was Easter Sunday morning. We had a little basket there. And I saw a little boy come up to me, and at that time, he was 5 or 6 years old. And he walked up and he said, Mark, what's that basket for? And I tried to explain to a little 5-year-old little boy what that basket was for. And I remember the little boy reached into his pocket and he took out a penny. He was the first little boy to give money to the church called The Mission. A 5-year-old little boy. Look at what God's done with that because of his giving. He didn't understand, but he gave 5 years old. The only penny he had in his pocket. I will never forget that story. See, a heart that is given to the Lord all week, not just one day a week, will have no problem giving on that Sunday. See, church, our giving reflects our trust and total commitment to God. It is an expression of faith. There was a story of an old Baptist preacher who stood up in his congregation on Sunday morning by asking them to consider great potential of their church. He told them this: with God's help, we can see the day when this church will go from crawling to walking. The people respond, "Let the church walk, preacher, let the church walk." The preacher continued and said, "With God's help, once we begin to walk, this church can begin to run." And in the back you heard, "Let the church run, preacher, let the church run." The preacher got excited, began to get happy, and he called a response. So he decided to push it a little further, the envelope. And he said, "With God's help, once we begin to walk, once we begin to run, then the church can go flying. And it's only going to take a lot of money by each one of you giving for us to fly." And in the back, the church got real quiet. Said, "Let the church fly, preacher, let the church fly." And all of a sudden, someone said, "No, no, no. Let the church walk, preacher, let the church walk." So I sat there last week and I thought about that. I said, "Lord, how do I end this? To all you may be surprised, I'm done." I looked at this story. We begin to walk. And if we do a few other things, church, we're going to begin to run. And if we give a little bit more money, church, I think we can start flying. So here we are. Giving is strictly from the heart. It's from the heart. You got your tithe card right here. I saw Brother Wise passing them out. If you don't have one, raise your hand. The ushers will bring you one. But here's the thing. I want you to listen to me. You have a choice today. You can either let your church walk, you can either let your church run, or you can let your church fly. It's up to you. And I know the old preacher probably didn't want to hear it in the back, "Let the church walk." I've watched God take this church, Wiley Methodist, and turn it to beautiful, beautiful people, a beautiful church. He's blessed you tremendously and will continue to bless you. And what I want to do this morning is this. I want you to think about the message for just a second. And I want you to listen to your heart. I want you to listen to your heart on how you should fill this out. Do you want it to walk? Do you want it to run? Or do you want your church to fly? I hope it's the last. I'm going to pray. And if you would, I would love to see you fill this out. And come, bring your commitment card. Lay it here at the altar and say, "Lord, this is what I commit because I love you. Because I love you. I love you because what you've given me and my family, you've blessed me and you will continue to bless me. And so I give back. And this is what it is." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the finances that you give every single person in this room. God, I pray that we look into our heart and we think, well, gosh, I give a dollar from time to time. I give $1,000 from time to time. As we heard, it's not about that. That little lady gave two little coins. And so I ask you today, Lord, to look into the hearts of the people, and that they look into their own heart and see what they're supposed to give for the rest of this year. As you fill this out, would you come forward and place it at the altar right now? Come. Once you've made your pledge, you may grab your Bible and grab your things and go ahead and head to the lunch. And again, if you don't make a commitment today, that's okay. Hold on to it. Pray over it.